Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to the Girlfriend's Guide to Sports podcast. My name is Claire Coles, and this is your weekly update. It's Monday, March 4th. Let's start with what you missed over the last week. Then we'll move on to what to watch this upcoming week in the world of sports. All right, so it is March. It is a new month. So you know that means we've got to start with coming up this month in the month of March. We started with the World Track and Field Championships this past weekend, March 1st through the 3rd. Also, Formula One season began on March 2nd and will continue to run through November. World Championships for speed skating will be this week on the 7th and 8th. The Players' Championship for PGA Tour Golf will be March 14th through the 17th. World Figure Skating Championships will be March 18th through the 24th. NCAA March Madness for the men's tournament begins March 19th through April 8th. The women's tournament also starts March 19th through April 7th. NCAA will have their wrestling championships March 21st through the 23rd, and then the MLB season begins March 29th through, and it will run all the way through September of 29 as well. This week, I'm actually going to start out with some baseball softball news because it is a huge upset and was literally on the regular scheduled programming for ESPN, their Instagram. So talk about a huge upset. Louisiana traveled to number one Oklahoma's new Love Field and upset Sooner softball. This ends their 71-game winning streak, the longest in NCAA history. Oklahoma scored two in the final seventh inning to tie up the game at four apiece, but in extra innings in the eighth, Louisiana put up three to take their score to seven. It looked like the Sooners might have a comeback going as well after a solo home run, put another one on the board, but the comeback would end there. Louisiana is 10-12 on the season compared to an 18-1 Oklahoma. That loss for OU, the last loss before this one, was actually February 19th of 2023 to Baylor. They are going for an unprecedented fourth straight national championship in softball this year. Moving along, as it is March, you know the main focus will be basketball, but let's start with the NBA. Tuesday had a killer buzzer beater in the Cavs-Mavs game. The Mavs were up by one in the final three, not even seconds, but Max Struss heaved the ball from beyond half court, and it falls in. Luka Doncic had 45 points for the Mavs in that game, but it just wasn't enough. The Cavs win by two with a buzzer beater. Chris Paul returned to the court for the Warriors in their game against the Wizards. They won by 11. The next day, Luka Doncic got a triple-double on his birthday and the W over the Raptors. The Cavs fell on the other side of the win-loss column on Wednesday. The Bulls took them into double overtime before winning by nine. The Lakers won the Battle of LA over the Clippers this week despite bringing down 19 points, being down 19 points going into the fourth quarter, but they put the hammer down, putting up 39 points to the Clippers' 16. The Thunder have been having a good season. We're going to get to that here in a minute as well. They've won 41 games on the season so far, but that didn't stop them from losing to one of the worst teams in the league on Thursday. The Spurs got the better of the Oklahoma City team by 24, no less. The Wizards would go on to lose again this week, this time to the Lakers in overtime after AD scored 40 points. On Friday, the Kings pulled off an upset, taking the Timberwolves into overtime and then winning by 4. That's a big one since the Timberwolves are like one of the top teams in their conference. That would drop Minnesota literally to number 2 in the West. Giannis put up the most points of the week by any one player with 46 points in the Bucks game against the Bulls on Friday. Milwaukee would go on to win 113-97. On Saturday, the Trailblazers-Grizzlies game went into overtime. Both teams have been struggling, so this win was going to be a big one for whoever got it. And Portland gets the W by 7. On Sunday, the Timberwolves got upset yet again, this time to the Clippers. In a lower-scoring game, they fell 89-88. Speaking of not having a good week and not having really a good month, the Wizards did not win a single game in the month of February. That is 14 straight losses, with their last win coming on January 29th against the Spurs. On the flip side of that, the Celtics have won 11 games in a row. They beat the Mavs on Friday and then destroyed the Warriors on Sunday. And I mean destroyed, like 50 points over the Golden State team. They actually were up 44 points at half, which is a franchise record. And the Warriors were on their own streak, winning 8 straight road games on Friday that obviously ended in Boston. Also in other news, LeBron has now surpassed 40,000 points in his NBA career. He is the most points in the NBA history, surpassing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who was only at about 38,000. I say only very lightly in that circumstance. He will continue adding to this record until he retires. The next person on the list of all-time scoring records that is still active is Kevin Durant at number 9. He only has 28,000 points, though. So far, LeBron sitting pretty. Also, let's go over the standings in the NBA as we start the final month of the regular season. In the East, the Celtics have a hold on the top spot with 48 wins over the Bucks with 40, and then the Cavs with 39. The bottom is a tie between the Wizards and the Pistons, both with 9 wins for the entire season. The West is much tighter. The Thunder, Timberwolves, and Nuggets are all sitting at 42 wins, but the Thunder have one less loss, so technically they claim the top spot for now. The Spurs are the bottom with 13 wins, but if they keep up the good week like they just had, they might catch the Trailblazers, who currently sit at 17 wins. In NCAA men's basketball, we are in the final week of the regular season, so it was like they wanted to give us a week off, because this one was scarily tame with the amount of upsets this week, way less than normal, so this section is going to be pretty quick. Number 9, UNC guard RJ Davis had a career-high 42 points in their win over Miami. It was not a loss, but it is still a noteworthy headline, and that's literally how many non-upsets we had this week. Number 7, Kansas started off normally against unranked BYU, up 6 at half, but the Cougars came back with a vengeance, putting up 47 points in the second half to upset the Jayhawks. On Wednesday, there was a big SEC matchup between number 11 Auburn and number 4 Tennessee. It was a high-scoring event. Tennessee had a 4-point lead at half and then continued to pile on to win 92-84. And I say high-scoring win for college, not for the NBA at this point. Vols guard Dalton Knecht was responsible for 39 points by himself. There were no upsets on Thursday at all. Friday only had one. Number 21, Dayton, fell by 5 points to Loyola Chicago. Sister Jean must have been happy with that. Tennessee had a tough week taking on both teams in the Iron Bowl rivalry. Saturday, the Vols were trailing in a close game to number 14, Bama, but they came back nicely to win by 7, putting away their second-ranked team of the week. Then there was a huge ranked game in the Big East, number 5 Marquette versus number 12 Creighton. That game was close at half, but the second half was all Blue Jays. Creighton put up 47 points to Marquette's 35. That doesn't change the standings in the Big East, but it is bringing them closer. Number 7, Kansas did not have a good week. They lost twice, which is absolutely unprecedented, not normal for this team. The second time was at least to a ranked team on Saturday. Number 15, Baylor beat them in both halves, although barely in first half. Baylor won at home by 8. In the West Coast Conference, number 23, Gonzaga took down number 17, St. Mary's, handily. The Bulldogs put up 44 in the first half and ultimately won by 13. And then barely ranked number 24, Florida, was leading by 6 going into the locker room. But the number 18, Gamecocks, scored 51 in the second half to beat Florida by 6. And finally, wrapping up the week, number 3, UConn routed Seton Hall on Sunday, winning by 30, yes, 3-0. That secured the Huskies their first Big East Conference title since 1999. So even though they won the entire tournament last year and are defending champions, they hadn't taken the conference title with obviously teams like Seton Hall, Creighton, Marquette, and Villanova in their way. It makes total sense, but absolutely unprecedented, or at least something that I was kind of surprised at, with not having a Big East title since 1999. Huge highlight of the week. Caitlin Clark broke 2 records this week. First, she took down the all-time women's scoring record, and then the ultimate, LSU Pistol Pete Maravich's total top NCAA all-scoring record of 3,667 points. Pistol Pete's record stood for 54 years. Caitlin entered senior night needing just 18 points to get the record against number 2 Ohio State, and she scored 35. It also added to the sweetness that number 6 Iowa beat number 2 Ohio State in the process. That would put an end to the 15-game winning streak for the Buckeyes as well. Caitlin has always said all these personal accolades are great, but she always wants her team to win, and that's always what's super important to her. So awesome that she gets to get this nice big upset here as well. And she has declared for the WNBA draft after this season this week as well. A little bit of quick football news. Johnny Manziel, the Texas A&M standout quarterback from a long time ago, has decided to boycott the Heisman Trophy ceremony until USC's Reggie Bush gets his reinstated. If you're like, wait, why is this ringing a bell? Bush had his Heisman revoked from 2005 after it was found that he and his family had received gifts estimating at over $250,000. However, in today's NIL era, where that's legal, it does kind of seem silly. So Johnny is putting his foot down. There also is a new NFL Combine 40-yard dash record. Texas wide receiver Xavier Worthy broke Washington's John Ross's record of 4.22 from 2017. He broke it by 0.01 seconds. It was blistering. He had great form, and you could hear it in the crowd. But remember, and here's my caveat, football speed is different than track speed. Christian Coleman showed us that when he ran a 4.12 while he was a sprinter at Tennessee, and he will come up again later in the podcast. Also, T-Swift fans, don't worry. The other Kelce brother has announced his retirement today. Jason Kelce has officially made it official. Originally from Ohio, both Kelce brothers played for Cincinnati before turning their sights to the NFL. Jason was then drafted to the Philadelphia Eagles in 2011 in the 6th round, where he plays center. He played his entire 12-year career for that team. He was a 7-time Pro Bowler and a Super Bowl champion. He started every game he played in the NFL. He is frankly hilarious and has a great personality, even producing a Christmas album at one point. In the world of golf this week, we're actually going to start with the LIV Tour. Joaquin Niemann stole the LIV event in Jeddah, winning by 4 strokes. That is also his second win in just 3 starts. He is only ranked number 72 in the world, however, after a vote fell against giving LIV golfers world ranking points, and he was a little salty after the tournament for exactly that, but he has been invited to several majors coming up this year. believing, I think there's only one left that has yet to invite him. So we'll see if they decide to extend that olive branch there. The Crushers won the team event for the Live Tour. And then Anthony Kim also stole the headlines. So that's why I said Joaquin Neiman stole the actual event, because Anthony Kim stole the headlines, finishing last, 33 shots off the lead. But he was encouraged by the play, by the way he played, and he will be, he has the option at least to play the remaining Live events. In just his second season and 50th start on the PGA Tour, Austin Eckroat captured his first PGA Tour win at the Cognizant Classic on Monday morning. Sunday's final round was delayed by rain for 3 hours and thus had to be finished today. 16 players were within 4 shots of the lead going into the final round. Eckroat had a 1-shot lead going to bed on Sunday and never gave it up. Ultimately, he would win by 3 over Eric Van Rooyen and Minwoo Lee. The Oklahoma State Cowboy has now qualified for the Masters, the Players, and Bay Hill. Y'all, there was some great Olympic news this week, and we are going to mainly focus on my sport. Track and field world championships were dominated by some very familiar names in the United States, who took home the most medals and the most golds with 20 and 6 respectively. American Ryan Crouser finally won his first indoor world championship in the shot this past week. If you're like, wait, why is that just now happening? It's just because he happened to miss some for injury and all of that as well. So he finally completes that title. American Grant Holloway destroyed the field in the 60-meter hurdles as expected. He has not lost a race since 2016. I believe he was 16 years old the last time he lost a race. American Christian Coleman, I told you his name was coming up again, set the world-leading time of 6.41 seconds to win the 60-meter dash over fellow American Noah Lyles. And so he is now the considered the GOAT of the 60, at least indoor. His start is just truly unparalleled. And then Swede Armin Duplantis won the pole vault, duh, but American Sam Kendricks got the silver, which was nice. In world record set, Netherlands Femke Bol broke the indoor world record again just a week or two after setting it in her home country's championships as well. Now the 400-meter world record is 49.17. That used to get you like almost a outdoor title at this point, but it is fast looking like we are going to be setting a world record for the Paris Olympics outdoor. So get really, really excited. United States was actually left off the podium in the women's 60-meter hurdles, which has to be the first time that's happened in a long time. Usually the short hurdles are one of the hardest American teams to make for the Olympic Games. Bahamas' Devin Carlton broke the world record with a 7.65. That original world record was set back in 2008 by Swedish Susanna Kuller. Some big turnarounds were made in the middle/distance events for the Americans. GBR's, so Great Britain's Josh Kerr, took the men's 3,000 meters, but American Jared Naguse took silver. The USA has come back in the men's 800, which was a huge disappointment last outdoors worlds. Bryce Hopple took the gold in the indoor with a minute 44.92. The American women did not have someone in the final there. The 1500 meter was a good event for both sides, men and women, with the Americans taking home 4 medals spread evenly across, but no golds. Both went 2 and 3 in the men's and women's. Huge upset in the women's 3,000 meters, though. Ethiopia's Tiskay was leading the final lap of the 15-lap race when American L. St. Pierre started pushing her. L. outkicked the world record holder to win America's first world championship in the indoor 3,000 meters. Another big upset was Belgium's Alexander Doom won the men's 400-meter dash over the phenom Norwegian Karsten Woholm. Texas alum but St. Lucian runner Julian Alfred took the women's 60-meter dash over Poland's Jua Sobota by 0.02 seconds. The USA women went 1-2 in the long jump with Tara Davis Woodall taking her first championships, besting Monet Nichols with a jump over 23 feet. She is absolutely awesome. Yes, she did go to UT, but I still absolutely adore her because she's just got this infectious personality. Belgium also edged out the Americans for the gold in the men's 4x400 meter relay by 0.06 seconds in a big upset there. The Netherlands took the women's relay, but I wouldn't really say that's an upset since they went 1-2 in the individual women's 400 meter dash. Also in track and field news, but outside of world championships, Olympic champion and track and field star Michael Johnson has announced that he will be starting a new track league. He hopes to bring new exposure to the sport as well as money for the athletes. He will partner with Winning Alliance, who is known for their for-profit tennis arm, which has been definitely picking up some momentum there as well. And then actually following up on a track story from last week, UGA sophomore Christopher Morales-Williams set the world record indoors at 200 meters at the SECs. However, that was revoked as there was an issue with the starting blocks. They were basically not connected to the start information system, which detects false starts. So his time no longer counts towards the record books only. He still gets the win, but it doesn't count towards the record. And then it was a great weekend for gymnastics with some of the best teams facing off. Number 5, Florida upset number 2, LSU, in a close one. Florida's Leanne Wong got her first 10, perfect 10 on the floor when she needed a 9.825 to seal the victory for the Gators. That also put her as the 15th gymnast in NCAA history to complete the perfect 10 in every event in her collegiate career. Haley Bryant for LSU hit her 14th perfect 10 this weekend as well, but wasn't enough to lift her Tigers over the Florida Gators. Number 1, Oklahoma broke their highest team score in program history with 198.675. That puts them just 0.2 away from the highest of all time, which was set by two separate teams, actually, Stanford and UCLA, in 2004. Oklahoma's Reagan Smith, the beam queen for OU, put her 8th perfect 10 on the beam to set another program record for the Sooners. That is the most the OU has had on that event. Current top 5 in gymnastics is Oklahoma, Cal, LSU, Florida, and Utah. Some other super quick highlights. Baseball, the Giants signed Matt Chapman to a 3-year deal from the Blue Jays for $54 million. This is a similar deal to Cody Bellinger's deal. NCAA news, the NCAA has put a pause on the investigations into Tennessee. A federal judge gave a primary injunction as asked by the attorneys for Virginia and Tennessee. The antitrust suit combats the NCAA rules against recruiting inducements, arguing that it inhibits athletes' abilities to cash in on their name, image, and likeness. And then in skiing, Swiss skier Laura Gutberami won another Super G on Saturday to add to her World Cup lead over, of course, Michaela Schifrin. But she better take advantage now as Michaela is set to return this week to the World Cup circuit in Sweden.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
That's what happened over the last week. Now let's move on to what to watch this upcoming week in the world of sports. And there are some major showdowns in the softball world on Saturday. Number 5, LSU takes on 14 Kentucky at 11 a.m. on SEC. Same on Sunday, they will go back to play each other again. Number 5, LSU, and number 14, Kentucky, again on 11 a.m. on SEC Network. Sticking with the SEC, 22 South Carolina versus number 18 Texas A&M, and then 15 Florida will play at number 11 Bama at 5, all on the SEC Network, all ranked first ranked games. Absolutely going to be awesome. In the NBA, Tuesday, the Celtics at the Cavs will play at 6:30 on TNT, followed by the Suns at the Nuggets at 9. On Wednesday, the Clippers take on the Rockets at 6:30 on ESPN, and then the Bucks take on the Warriors at 9. Thursday, the Heat play at Dallas Mavericks at 6:30 on TNT, followed by the Celtics at the Nuggets at 9 p.m. on TNT. That game should be a great close game there. Friday, catch two of the top teams in the conference, the Timberwolves at the Cavaliers at 6:30 on ESPN, followed by the Bucks at the Lakers at 9. On Saturday, you get the Celtics at the Suns at 7:30 on ABC. And then wrapping up the week, the 76ers at the Knicks at 6 p.m. on ESPN. And the Timberwolves at the Lakers at 8:30, also on ESPN. In men's basketball, we've got a couple ranked versus ranked games going on this week. Starting Tuesday, number 3, Purdue at 12, Illinois at 6. That can be watched on Peacock. On Wednesday, number 4, Tennessee takes on 17, South Carolina. That will be their third ranked team in a row. They are going to be exhausted by the end of this run. They will play at 6 on ESPN2. Then number 2, UConn plays number 8, Marquette at 7:30 p.m. on Fox Sports 1. Newly ranked BYU, number 20, takes on number 6, Iowa State at 8 p.m. on ESPN2. And then on Saturday, number 14, Kansas takes on number 1, Houston, who barely escaped Oklahoma this week. Literally a buzzer beater at the end. They play at 3 on ESPN. Y'all, I can't make this up. Number 15, Kentucky plays at number 4, Tennessee at 3 p.m. on CBS. That is another ranked game. Tennessee is going through a gauntlet right now. Again, 3 p.m. on CBS. And then wrapping up the week for ranked versus ranked games, the biggest showdown in basketball blue bloods. They are as blue as they come. Number 7, UNC at number 9, Duke. They will play at 5:30 on ESPN. And again, this is the last regular week for men's basketball, because this week in women's basketball, and this is why I'm not going to go over any of the games going on, because as of Thursday, the tournaments will start, the conference tournaments. So ACC and SEC will start earlier in the week. I have put them all on the blog, The Girlfriend's Guide to Sports. But basically, let's go to Sunday because that's when the finals are. So the Big Ten tournament final will be at 11 a.m. on Sunday on CBS. The ACC tournament final will be at noon on ESPN. The SEC tournament final will be at 2 on ESPN. And the Pac-12 tournament final will be at 4 p.m. on ESPN. There are others in there like the Big East and all of that as well. So check out the blog for those. The Big 12 tournament final doesn't finish until Tuesday. They will play at 8 on ESPN2. The PGA Tour goes to the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Round 1 will begin on Thursday. You can catch that at 1 p.m. on Golf Channel. Same time on Friday for Round 2. On Saturday, the LIV Hong Kong Round 2 will be at 11:30 a.m. on the CEW. And then the Arnold Palmer Invitational Round 3 will be at 11:30 a.m. on Golf Channel. And then we'll switch over to NBC at 1:30. On Sunday, the final round of the Arnold Palmer Invitational will be at 11:30 on Golf Channel and then 1:30 on NBC. And the LIV Hong Kong final round as well will be at noon on the CW. In the NHL, on Wednesday, the Sabres take on the Maple Leafs at 6 on TNT, followed by the Red Wings at the Avalanche at 8:30. On Thursday, the Blues take on the Devils at 6 on ESPN. Saturday, the Hurricanes take on, again, the Devils at 11:30 a.m. on ABC. And the Penguins take on the Bruins at 2, also on ABC. On Sunday, the Oilers take on the Penguins at noon on TNT, followed by the Predators at the Wild at 2:30, also on TNT. Saturday, it is a double week back-to-back of Formula One action. The Formula One Saudi Arabian Grand Prix will be on Saturday at 11 a.m. on ESPN2. That wraps it up for me this week. Lots going on as men's basketball and women's basketball comes to an end. We are officially in March. It is March Madness, so get super psyched. Like I said, plenty of games and times on the blog. So please check out The Girlfriend's Guide to Sports for more info there. And I will catch y'all next week.